22nd Sunday, Year A in Ordinary Time. The first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 and 9. O Lord, Thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and Thou hast rebelled. I have become a laughing stock all day. Everyone mocks me, for whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it was, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Second reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1-2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21-27. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he hath done. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Conflicts of opinions happen everywhere and in every generation. For example, children want to watch TV, but their parents want them to go to bed. On the road, a driver must wait for the green light to move, why there is no traffic on either side. in a company. A worker wants to do his way, but he must do his own way. So, where there is a conflict, which opinion one must do, and how do we know which opinion is correct? Today, reading the Sower, that conflicts happen everywhere, and the way the people chose to follow, they chose to follow God's way. In the first reading, the conflict happened between God and the prophet Jeremiah. God wants him to speak things that people do not want to hear. Since they do not want to hear, they persecuted him. Sometimes Jeremiah does not want to speak what God commands him, but he could not do it because of a burning fire shut up in his bones, and he weary with holding it in. In the second reading, Christ's disciples are encouraged to offer their whole life as the holy sacrifice for God. This is not easy, because worldly temptations surround them and divert their attention from God. In the Gospel, Matthew reported the conflict between Jesus and Peter, his apostle. Jesus foretold that he shall go up to Jerusalem to begin his passion and death, according to God's plan. Peter took him aside and advised him not to choose that way. Jesus rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of man." Second analysis, the first reading. The conflict between God and Jeremiah. First, God's will. From the beginning, God wanted to choose Jeremiah to be his prophet. Jeremiah told him that he did not know how to speak because he is still young. God said to him, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you shall go, and whatever I command you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, say the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said to him, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." See Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. He became God's prophet from that time. Jeremiah himself in today's first reading said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and thou hast rebelled." He used the verb pite, which should be translated to seduce or to persuade, not to deceive. God does not deceive anyone. He persuades people to follow the truth and the good. Once Jeremiah became God's prophet, he must speak and do what God wants him to. If we understand Jeremiah's mission according to the final goal of his life, this is the good seduction to be fell into. Second point, Jeremiah will. God's prophet must speak what God commands, even though he does not like to, or people do not want to hear. People want to hear the word of peace, but Jeremiah was commanded to speak about war and exile. That is the reason why he said to God, "I have become a laughing stock all day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long." Not only he was derided, but also thrown to a muddy well and left there for dying. Third point, weak way to choose. Jeremiah had wanted to rebel so many times that he confessed, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Second reading, the conflict between the consecrated and the worldly lifestyle. Third point, the consecrated lifestyle. Before St. Paul's conversion on the day to Damascus, he wanted to persecute Christians and put them into prison. But God wanted to use him to preach the gospel for the Gentiles. The event of falling and cry revelation completely changed his life forever. From the eager persecutor of Christians to the ardent preacher to the Gentiles. What we read from today's passage expressed his ardent love for Christ. "I appeal to you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is the proper way for the people to worship God." The offering to God, according to St. Paul, is no longer limited to sheep, goats, or any material things which people can buy from the market, but must be the whole person with free will, desire, intellect, and passion. We offer our sacrifice to God not only in the weekend or in the morning and evening of each day, but also every minute of our life. This requirement is the challenge for the consecrated life. Only those who recognize God's compassion and his immense love for them can offer to God this way. Second point, the worldly lifestyle. People of the world are competing to be rich so that they can enjoy everything the world offers. Right disciples are required to give up all worldly allurements and to live a simple life. Though they have a body which demands to be caressed and cared for, right followers are required to give up marriage to live a chaste life. More than anything, right disciples are required to give up their will to obey their superiors who are human like them and have many weaknesses to a life of obedience. Though living in a world full of temptations, St. Paul advised us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This advice is not only for those who live a consecrated life, but also for Christians who live in a married life. All people to baptism bear in themselves the priestly duty. Therefore, they must offer to God pure, holy, and perfect sacrifices by their own life. Third, the gospel. The conflict between Christ and Peter. First point, Christ's will. Christ's passion is near, and he wanted to reveal to his disciples God's plan of salvation. According to this plan, he must go up to Jerusalem to be persecuted by the elders, the scribes, and the Pharisees. He shall be crucified, die, but raised in the third day. When was prevented by Peter, Jesus sternly rebuked him, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of man. As a human being, it is easy for Christ to fall into Peter's temptation, because no one wants to suffer and to die. But as the Son of God, Christ must do God's will to bring God's plan of salvation to perfection. Second point, Peter's will. After Christ revealed his plan, Peter take him aside and say to him, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Like the Jewish contemporaries, Peter was unable to understand why the Messiah must go through suffering to save men. By preventing Christ from God's plan, Peter is doing the Satan's works. He tempted Christ in the desert and in the Gethsemane garden. Let choose other way to save people, the way which shall not require to be suffered and die. The third point, the condition to follow Christ. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. According to Jesus' statement, there are three conditions which one must do to be Christ's disciple. First, he must deny himself, which means he must forsake his will to do God's will. like Jeremiah and Paul, Peter and other disciples felt the difficulty of giving up their will to do God's will. Jesus gave three reasons why one must do so. Secondly, he must take up his cross, which means to bear daily suffering. And lastly, he must follow Jesus' way. So, first point, for whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This reason is difficult to understand, but can be understood with concrete examples. If everyone afraid of death, who shall fight with the enemy to protect their nation? And if the enemies invaded their nation, can they protect their life? Or if everybody didn't keep the law, the social order shall be messed up. And once the society lost its safety, human life shall no longer be protected. Similarly, in the spiritual life, only God knows what people must do to inherit the eternal life. He knows people are not able to achieve eternal life with an easy lifestyle. So he taught them to through the narrow door by giving up their will and carrying their cross. People, of course, still have the freedom to choose, but they must choose the way that leads them to eternal happiness. Second, for what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? To choose wisely, people must foresee and compare the results which they shall get. Jesus drew people's intention to the final goal of their life, which is the life of eternal happiness in God's kingdom. Many people tend to look for temporal results and forget about the final goal of their life. Jesus wants to remind the people that is it a waste if they can possess all things of this present life but shall lose their eternal life. Third, for the Son of Man is to come with his angel in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay every man for what he had done. People must know that all their works shall be judged on the last day, and God shall repay them for what they have done. Even in this life, people must also receive the results of their works. If they do good deeds, they shall receive good results. If they do bad deeds, the bad results. Though there are some deeds that people can get by in this life, but they must fake God's judgment and corresponding results in the life to come. Application in life. Conflicts are not lacking in our life because everyone has their own will. 100 people have 100 wills, but we must find out what is the best will to follow. This is relatively easy if we follow the law of God, of society and nation. When there are conflicts in morality and spirituality, we must find God's will to follow, because only God had absolute wisdom to guide people. God reveals His will to us through scripture, tradition, and the church's teachings. People are easy to be rebellious due to the environmental effects, such as climate, social pressure, peers, and job. They have a tendency to follow their will and do not want to obey authorities. However, we need to know that our wisdom is very limited. We need to open ourselves to receive good things from others, to protect the common good, and especially to achieve the final goal of our life by doing God's will. Amen.